Good morning, you guys. Amen. On my way up, Andrew said, good luck. good morning. Right, it was a little heavy. That probably seems familiar to you, because basically the same story that Sharon talked about last week. This was just a lot more violent, if you will. There's a little bit. Before we begin, I want to take a second and just tell you guys, thank you. Last week, I think it was last week, Cecilia had her gallbladder out. Just really loving and supportive of us. People brought like food and cared about us and prayed for us and hugged us and things like that. So, and thank you for loving us. Cecilia and I both deeply appreciate it. And we are very happy to have you guys. She is doing better. She's at work today. Back, so thank you again, everyone. Y'all are awesome. If you would, pray with me, and then we'll dive in. Still our hearts in this moment, so that we might come. God, dwell in this place. God, let it be as palpable as the humidity. God, wash us with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. So, a couple of weeks ago, start by saying, when I first moved to Atlanta, I obviously was missing Texas. If any of you have ever been, Texas is the greatest place in the world, so I was obviously missing Texas. And so, in a moment of just sadness about Texas football season, here just wanted to talk about the Falcons and, like, who cares about the Falcons? And so, I joined a Facebook group called Cowboys Nation ATL. There was a bunch of Cowboys fans in Atlanta, right? It's beautiful. It's mostly just them posting conspiracy theory articles and talking about how much they hate Jerry Jones. So it made me feel at home. Like, that's pretty much, to be a Cowboys fan, those two things are pretty much all that. But so I joined this group. They were all friendly. And there's a ton of people on it, but like probably 50 or so that are really active and post all the time, hang out. And so it was just good to see this community that liked what I liked. And when the season started, they would host these viewing parties, right? They would say, all right, everybody, it's our viewing party. Make sure you go. They do it back in like Sandy Springs, somewhere out there. Come to our viewing party, blah, blah, blah. It'd always be a Facebook. They have a little meetup that you sign up on and you can RSVP. And I was just like, cool, this is nice. I'm not going to go to your viewing party because that feels weird. So I just never did. It just felt weird. I don't know. Sometimes I would get the meetup and I'd be like, oh, maybe I'm going to go this week. Like, we're playing the Eagles and we're going to beat them for sure. Maybe I'll go. Whatever. He's khaki because he won a Super Bowl. So I would RSVP yes, and then it would get to Sunday and I'd be like, I'm lazy, whatever. Really what the issue was is, and I think a lot of you guys can relate to this. Actually, you can't relate to this because I'm weird. When I hate pants, right? I hate pants. Home, I take my pants off, and then it's really hard to get me to put them back on. You know, like, it's, it was like, in the bag, Jesus is speaking to me right now. Like, so, if you're going to try to get me to go somewhere, it's a perfectly valid excuse for me to say, well, I already took my pants off. Like, how worth it is this, right? And so, really, that was the issue. I'd get home on Sunday, I'd take my pants off, and then it's like, I'm not putting my pants back on for these people. She's like, yeah. Like, get sweatpants. Obviously, she's a mom. She thinks I'm crazy. I'm not putting people. Like, what? So I wouldn't go. Finally, this last year, like 2 weeks ago, they kick off this season, this group for like 2 weeks. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this thing. My buddy Ryan moved. He got a job in Atlanta. So he is now here, and both of us year. Doing parties, so I didn't have a lot of Sunday night. I didn't have a ton of homework. It was chill. I was like, let's do this thing. We're playing the Giants. We're gonna win. I'm gonna go check this thing out. So I go out. I drag. She just went because it means she could get a cowboy shirt, right? So I bought her a cute cowboy shirt. We go out. We go to the Taco Mac and we show up, and it is the most incredible I've ever seen in my entire life. All right, they have patio sectioned off, and there's just Cowboys flags just lining it, right? And I knew I was in the right spot because all the cars outside had little cowboy, like, window signs. I think because we're in Atlanta and not Dallas, everybody's just real extra about it, right? So I get in, I walk in, and I'm like, hey, we're here for the Cowboys thing, and they just pointed, right? They just pointed. We go to their back deck. I walk out. There's a DJ, all right? There's a DJ set up, and he's just blasting awesome early 2000s rap music, like the things that they've got the game on every TV. There is a wings and fries buffet on the side, all right? And everyone is just hype, right? Like, everybody's pumped. Like, we just walked in, and people saw our Cowboy shirts, and they were just like, let's do this thing. Everybody's like, Ivan and Chesma, and like, the game hasn't started yet, and like, everybody's just pumped, right? And so we kick off, and the DJ has sound effects for everything. So you're like, they kick off, and he's like, dur, 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 dur. You're like, there's a sack, and he's like, boom. They do replays. It's just incredible. During commercials, he plays the rap music that I love, and so I don't have to hear crappy commercials. Like, it is the most incredible experience of my life. And when they score, oh my gosh, when they score, it's the biggest celebration I've ever seen ever. One dude, he was wearing 4 jerseys, and he would switch to whoever had scored, depending. Like, he came with 4 jerseys. That's how excited he was. But so they score. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. I've never seen these people before. Everybody's just hugging. Like, everybody's just high-fiving. Like, everyone is hype. It also helps. RSVP'd, which we did not. Every time they scored, you get a shot or a beer for free, so that helped a little bit too. But it was arguably the most incredible party I've ever been to, ever. It was just in. And then that night, Cecilia had to go to the emergency room because the gallbladder thing, so ruined it. But it was the most incredible party I've ever been to, and it reminds me a whole lot of this story. All right, like, there's a lot of parallels there, if you will. So in this story, yes, in kingdom of God, right? And this is something you guys have been talking about for a number of weeks now. So can anybody tell me, what is the kingdom of God? Like, what does that mean? Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Yeah, God's rule, doing things God's way. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay, what do you mean? Yeah, like the community, yeah, for sure. Okay. They're smart and obviously. I think y'all are smart and have been paying attention, obviously. Because the kingdom of God, right, implies its name. The kingdom of God, God is the king. God reigns, right? Like kind of what Mary said, God is in control. God's will be done, God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, right? And so it's when God's community is following God's rule. God is in charge, right? And so Jesus is saying, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. And he uses a party is the first thing that we see, is he uses a party. And this happens a lot. Jesus uses parties a lot to talk about the kingdom of God. And so our first lesson is, the kingdom of God is awesome. All right, the kingdom of God is Taco Mac on a Sunday night with a buffet and a DJ. The kingdom of God is something you want to be a part of. Right? Like, it's a feast, it's a banquet, it's celebration. It's the truth that when God is in control of our lives are better. Right? Like, that's something we want, not something we don't want. All right, so Jesus is saying, here's this kingdom of God, it's like a party. But what this parable really focuses on, who's invited? Who gets to participate in this party? Right? And that's really what this parable is about. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think there are three, because this is a sermon, 3 key lessons that this shows us about who is invited to the party and what that looks like. All right, and so the first thing, so Jesus is talking to these religious rulers at the time, right? And this first thing is directed directly towards them, but I would also argue in modern terms is directed directly towards us. It's directed towards the church. Jesus says there are these people that were invited, and then when the time came, they didn't show up, right? What happens in this time period is, it's not just like you call them up and you say, hey, we're having bar tonight, come on over. There was preparation that had to happen. So what normally would happen is the king would have sent out like a save the date, like we do with any wedding now. The king would have sent out like something, and people would have RSVP'd and said, oh yeah, I'm totally going to be at this party. What's your the not thing so I can get you a gift? Whatever. He would send out that thing. People would say yes. And then when it was time, when it was actually prepared, when they had killed the fatted calf, when they had prepared all this stuff because they can't just go to McDonald's, when they had gotten it all ready, they would send out another person to say, all right, it's ready. Come on. Right? So these people have been warned in advance and they've said yes. They've committed and now they're not showing up. They're backing out, right? And in this version, it get into what their excuses are, but in the Luke one that you heard last week, it tells you their excuses are just like these kind of weird things, right? Like I think Sharon mentioned that, they're like the excuses just don't make sense. They're just excuses. They're like, look, I already took my pants off, you know, right? Look, I'm Netflix marathon. Like I got to see how Friends season 8 ends. You know, like that, those are their kinds of excuses. Like they're just not real. But you mean I'm going to have to go by the get gas and I really just don't want to do that. All right, those are their kind of excuses. And Jesus says, fine, okay, you can't come anyways. I didn't want you at my party. And I think it's in a lot of ways because we are those people. We are the people invited and said yes, right? I think that the way that lines up in modern church world is we are the people that we heard the call of Christ and we said, right? Like we heard the invitation and we said yes. We are members of a church. We are dedicated to Jesus. We are sitting here on this Sunday morning instead of doing any other thing. We have said yes, right? But then when it actually comes time to take part in the kingdom of God, we're like, I don't know, right? Because God has a will and God has a desire for the world, right? And that desire is maybe not the most specific thing, like Levi, you have to be a doctor. That desire is love other people. That desire is care for the poor. That desire is seek justice and love mercy, have humility. Like there are these desires. Comes time to actually participate in it, we get cold feet. We're like, I don't know. I'm busy doing something. Like, God, I would love to care about my neighbor, but my neighbor's kind of a jerk, so I'm good. We find these excuses to not participate, right? And that is what Jesus is saying the religious rulers of the time are doing, is they're finding these excuses. They've dedicated their lives to the law, but they're finding these excuses to not actually take part in the kingdom of God, right? So that is our first danger, is you have been invited to something incredible. You have been invited to this magical party that beats any party you could imagine. So now you actually have to go to it. You actually have to show up. You have to actually submit yourself to the kingdom of God, right? And that's hard sometimes, but it's something we have to do. It's not good enough just to come on Sunday morning and say, okay, I'm a Christian, I RSVP'd. We actually have to go. So that is the first thing that Jesus is saying, is go. And again, I think that us as the church, I think we are those people. It's really easy to say, well, the Pharisees, they suck. Like we are those people, I think, that we have to go. The second thing this scripture shows us that, and this was remarkably radical for the day, and I would say still remarkably radical today, the way we handle it. The second thing this shows us is everyone gets an invitation. These religious rulers that you would expect to be in God's kingdom, they get an invitation, but also all the people on the streets get an invitation too, right? Like they get drug into the party. And it's that reminder that Christian doesn't just look like one person. Christian doesn't just look like one demographic. Christian could be anybody. And that is something that we as the church continually forget. Like even right after this moment, they have a huge debate in the life of the church on whether Gentiles can be, like what that looks like, Jew and Gentile. Can Gentiles be Christians? What do they have to do to, like we forget that the invitation is for everybody, right? And we have forgotten that time and time again. Over and over again, churches say, well, you're not doing the Bible right, so you obviously are not a Christian. You know, well, for a long time, it was, well, the color of your skin, you can't be a Christian. You know, maybe it's, oh, your sexual orientation, you can't be a Christian. You know, maybe it's like, oh, from where you're from, you came from where? No, Christianity is an American thing. You can't be a Christian. Whatever that is, we've figured out ways to limit it to only who we think should be invited, right? No, the kingdom of God is only Pharisees. It's only the Jewish people. It's only whoever. We've limited this thing and we forget that the kingdom of God is for everybody, that even the people on the street get to come, right? And I can almost see you that everyone in this room, at one point in your life, you've either been told that you can't be a Christian because, or you have told someone they can't be a Christian because, That is, and probably has happened to you. And so this morning, we need to realize that's not true. That yes, you can be a Christian, and that yes, whoever can be a Christian, right? Like, it's available. God says, go make disciples of all nations, right? It's open. So we have this incredible party that we get to participate in, and everyone has a chance to participate in it as long as they show up, right? That is our here. But then Jesus hedges that because Jesus is wise and great and stuff. Jesus hedges that, and he enters in this third component. And Jesus says, it's true that everyone's invited, but also it matters how you show up. All right, we can't just be saying, cool, anything goes, everybody's here, we're good. It matters how you show up. This little play reminds me a lot of in Galatians. If anybody has their Bible, you can open up to Galatians 3. It's Galatians 3. It's at the end of Galatians 3. I'm going to read starting in verse 25, Galatians 3:25. It says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one. Now, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Right? That verse tells us what we just said. We are all Christ, right? But the key is in Christ. It matters what the guy showed up to the banquet in. It mattered if he was wearing the wedding clothes or not, because it has to be in Christ. We clothe ourselves in Christ. Did you hear that verb? We clothe ourselves in Christ. We drape ourselves in Christ so that it is not us that the world sees, it is Christ. We are an embodiment of Christ. And that is so significant, because a lot of times I think we forget that. And so we say, yeah, I can be a good person. I can buy into this whole, like, love everybody, will for God. Like, but I can do it, right? Like, we make it all about us. I can be the good person. And we forget, no, I need Jesus. God has to be a part of this, right? We forget God. We get so caught up with everybody can come that we forget everybody, but needs to come clothed in Christ, right? It matters what we wear. At the Cowboys party, one of my friends, Ryan, his girlfriend showed up. She doesn't own Cowboys, a hawk shirt, right? No one kicked her out. No one, like, threw her into the darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth, but it was uncomfortable for a good minute, because I was like, wait, she's wearing red. What red is that? What is that? Like, you could tell, like, people are, like, down past our table, like, wait. What is she? It was obvious that she did not belong, right? Because she wasn't wearing the right thing. In the kingdom of God, we are clothed in Christ, and that is what unifies us. None are slave or master, none are Jew or Greek, none are man or woman, in Christ, right? In Christ. And that's a powerful thing, because it takes the responsibility off us. I don't have to worry about, like, oh man, how can I be good enough? How can I ever measure up to Mother Teresa or something? Well, no, I just need Christ. I need to buy into God, right? And so I don't know where you are at in that line, right? Like, I don't know if you have never bought in. I don't know if you've never said yes. Like, if the invitation's just waiting in your inbox and you're not saying yes or no. Maybe you said maybe on Facebook, you know? I don't know where you're at with that. Or if you've gotten the invitation, but you're just not showing up. Or if you showed up, but you're like, I can do this. I don't need God. But wherever you're at, this parable reminds us, no. Like, there is yet still to come. There is more to do, right? And that is such an important reminder to us, because the kingdom of God is so incredible. And a note, the kingdom of God, a lot of times when we say the kingdom of God, people's first image is like ultimate kingdom of God, the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back and the earth is going to be perfect. The kingdom of God, yes, is yet to come, but it is also now, right? And I don't want to wait till I'm dead to experience that, because I'll be dead by then. I want to experience the kingdom of God now. I want to be a part of wonder working in this world right now. To do that, I have to actually show up. I have to heed the invitation to actually show up. And I have to show up clothed in Christ. And the most powerful thing, because again, in a lot of ways, this is revolutionary in today's world. Anyone can do that. As long as you drape yourself in Christ, anyone can do that. So it doesn't matter if it sometimes seems like you're reading different Bibles, or if that person's not what I expect a Christian to look like, or if they have black Jesus or whatever thing. It doesn't matter, because as long as you clothe yourself in Christ, you are part of the kingdom of God. So that is our hope. And again, I don't know where you're at, but my hope is this morning that you are willing to take the next step. All right. So for me, that means showing up. For me, that means putting my pants back on. You know, for me, that means whenever I feel God tugging on my heart, whenever I see God directing my path towards something, going. It means answering that call. That's what that means for me. But for some of you, maybe that means just accepting it. For some of you, maybe that means saying, yes, God is knocking at the door and I'm going to let him in. Whatever that looks like, I encourage you this morning, take that step, because it's worth it. It is far greater than a Taco Mac buffet with a DJ. It is the most incredible thing we can participate in. All right, so that is my prayer for you.